following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome to FBC Radio Live. It is Monday. It's January the 24th. And for those of you who are up, awake, and still with us, what an incredible, incredible, incredible weekend of playoff football that we just witnessed. I mean, it was truly something to be marveled at, because we saw some incredible games that all came down to the wire, all last second, all, for the most part, great quarterback play, and the conference championship is set. So we now know that the 49ers and the Rams will meet in Los Angeles next weekend, as well as the Bengals and the Chiefs will meet in Kansas City to decide who will go to Los Angeles to face off in Super Bowl 55. John, how you doing? I mean, I made sure I texted you last night and throughout the weekend to make sure, you know, first of all, both of us were still with it. But what a weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement comes out tomorrow, so I'm really keyed up for that. I don't recall any of the games this weekend.
Right, no,
I mean,
right.
You get through it. At least it was Ryan Tannehill who was the worst quarterback of the weekend, and Rodgers was in running for the sixth best quarterback of the weekend along with Jimmy Garoppolo, but maybe give the edge to Garoppolo because his team won. No, that was frustrating Saturday night watching the Packers lose to the 49ers. I don't want to hear any excuses. You put 10 points on the board, that's up to you. That's your fault. Look, the Packers defense was sensational Saturday night, came up with big stop after big stop after big stop. The special teams, which has been an issue for, I don't know, a decade, was horrible once again. A blocked field goal and a blocked punt. I mean, if they're buttoned up on special teams, they probably still find a way to win the game unless Rodgers gives it away. Frustrating, incredibly frustrating. And then you're watching the games yesterday, and the quarterbacks are just putting points on the board and never giving up and putting more points on the board and never giving up and putting more points on the board. And my guy just kind of looked like he would rather be home in his den reading, you know, Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, and you know, look, the that was tough. I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I wasn't necessarily surprised in that first one. Obviously, I did pick against Green Bay, and I said it at the time. It was a little bit with not so much heart. Maybe a little bit of heart, not so much brain, but it actually worked out in my favor. Actually, it was the only game that I got right. Of all the games to get right, that's the one that I actually picked correctly this entire weekend. But, you know, that first drive, you know, we talked about it last week. The Packers had to start quickly. You know, we didn't want to see them, you know, with these slow starts that we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, last couple of weeks or whatever. It's like, you know, you want to see this team get out to a fast start and kind of, you know, control this game from start to finish. And after the first drive, I'm thinking, all right, well, this is what's going to happen. Well, and then they said something like, well, that's the only the third time that they had scored an opening drive touchdown. And I'm like, It's kind of strange, like, which is crazy to think considering what this team used to be, certainly was last year. But then I'm thinking, like, maybe that's one of those odd quirks where it's like, maybe this doesn't actually work out well for the Packers that they scored early and went down on the first drive, because, you know, clearly not scoring on the first drive didn't impact the regular season record that much. But after that, I mean, it's, you know, three and out, can't move the ball, punts and fumbles, and you know, it just wasn't good. And, you know, we came into this weekend, and we're just going to rip the Band-Aid off and get this over first so we can move on and talk about what else we saw. But we talked about how important this was for Aaron Rodgers' legacy and how much it could enhance it. Big picture, you know, greatest quarterbacks of all time. I'm not talking GOATs, I'm talking just, you know, top 10 type of thing. I thought probably worst case scenario, it wasn't going to get hurt. I thought it got hurt. I mean, not only do you lose it yet again in another season in which, I mean, whether or not you think last year or this year was more this team is built to win a Super Bowl type team. It happened twice. And in this case, it happened without a single playoff win. And it happened in a game that, I mean, that San Francisco offense just didn't want to win that game. There was opportunity after opportunity. And, you know, the situation that led to the block punt was yet another three and out by the Packers offense that set them up back. And, I mean, him and Jimmy Garoppolo were competing for who could take the worst sack on third down. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, this is every box that I complain about with Aaron Rodgers. And it's like, I'm not getting, like, a whole lot of joy in this because I was looking for an entertaining game. But, you know, all these marks on him. And again, you know, we're splitting hairs when we talk about the greatest quarterbacks, but all these marks just came to the forefront this weekend against San Francisco. And I think it hurt him. I mean, we were talking about potentially squeezing into that next tier right below Manning and you know, guys like Elway and stuff like that. I think he might have probably solidified himself closer to 10 as opposed to five.
I still think he's better than Dan Marino and Brett Favre. You know, I mean, again, he's going to win his fourth MVP, whatever the hell that means. But I still think he's better than those guys. And even his playoff record is better, you know, so that's where I still leave him. But I mean, he has to win another Super Bowl to get into the Manning Elway class. And even if he gets into that with another Super Bowl, those guys went to multiple Super Bowls, right?
Well, let's say I think he's a little bit further than I imagined. Let's put it this way. I didn't think he was going to lose any ground into this weekend. You know what I mean? Even if they lost, but I also didn't imagine them being, you know, just absolutely
scoring 10.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously.
Exactly.
Especially a weekend, but yesterday all we saw were like fireworks, right?
You exactly.
Know, 30-27, 42-36. I thought I was watching Madden, not the NFL, and here they are with 10 points. Starts snowing in the second half. I've always felt he and Brady are the two best bad weather quarterbacks, and it looked like it got in his head. He was locked in on Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, didn't want to throw to anyone else. Orlovsky just went through the film and showed, you know, a half a dozen plays where he had perfect checkdowns to other receivers, which would have gained 7-8 yards, which would have been fine. Move the sticks. They get up 7-0. San Francisco started the game with four consecutive three and outs for negative 10 yards of offense. So Green Bay's defense was awesome early.
Yep.
You have to take advantage of that. Now, the second drive for Green Bay, they're moving at will again. They get down to the 41, and Mercedes Lewis fumbles. And then after that, their offense just went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even at the end of the half, when he hits Aaron Jones on a 75-yard pass, which Aaron Jones should have gone out of bounds to save clock rather than stay in bounds. And then Rodgers takes a sack and loses the ball and recovers it, sets up a field goal from 39, which should be makeable. But Mason Crosby is not good anymore. They don't block well on field goals or apparently punts. And that gets blocked. I mean, big difference, 10-0 and 7-0 in a game like that. You know, if you make that field goal, maybe it's different. But then you're still holding on 10-3. You come up with that huge fourth down stop with 6 minutes left. I'm like, okay, two first downs, maybe three first downs, kneel time. Well, three and out. And then the blocked punt, and then another three and out. So, I mean, like, that's on him.
Yeah.
That's completely on him, like it was in the NFC Championship game last year when Brady threw three second half picks, and the last two he didn't take advantage of. That's all on him. People are saying Brady, well, you know, they recovered a fumble at the opposing 30-yard line. That's what set him up to tie the game. I'm like, yeah, great. And you know what he did? He tied the game.
Yeah.
Like he always does. You know, like, I mean, Lord knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do in that situation. I mean, I was just completely frustrated. And you know what frustrated me more, Ian, was this. And one of the reasons I like him so much is he is interesting, opinionated, and that's all well and good when you're winning. But when you put 10 points on the board, it's frustrating. Why the hell did he spend 28 minutes on Friday talking to ESPN reporter Kevin Van Valkenburg for a feature and then started talking about the vaccine and President Biden and all of that stuff? Like, you're going into a huge game and your mind's there. Like,
because
not a good
this,
look.
I mean, this is kind of his thing. And again, this isn't – we talk about, like, how can it be that he can have such a great – and as much as I've advocated for Brady as the MVP and all that, it doesn't take away the fact that Aaron Rodgers has had a great season. But it's always puzzling when you sit there and you're like, okay, how can someone have such a great season but then turn into a completely different player in the playoffs?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, especially at the quarterback position, and this is why I think that the position is so much in the head and so important that, you know, I don't care about athleticism. I mean, I saw him get chased down by a defensive player. So don't give me athleticism as why Aaron Rodgers is so great. I mean, what did that do for him yesterday or on Saturday? But I'm sitting there seeing like, okay, he's not focused. I wondered if the pressure was going to be a little too heavy for him. Just like, I mean, he's had pressure issues before, and I'm not talking about defensive pressure. I'm talking about mental pressure and own pressure. He's had that before, and every year that he doesn't win, it only compounds. So now all of a sudden, you're yet here again, 13-3, home field advantage for yet another a playoff game. And all of a sudden, this pressure comes into you, and clearly he wasn't focused on the game. Like, I understand that, like, certainly outside of the camera, not every player is 100% thinking about the game every second of every day leading up to it. Like, I get that. I'm not saying that every player does. But you can guarantee the best ones are certainly, when they're on camera, not talking about anything else. And to your point, you have him up there continuing to... Like, look, I'm not going to sit here and make this a pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine debate, but clearly it seems like the information that he's coming to the table with is far less credible than what should be. And he has to take responsibility being in the position and having the platform that he does, because he has a reach of millions of people, not only his fans, but through the NFL, the fans of others. So, you know, to go up there to your point and say, like, the night before, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? You know, why are you getting up here and doing this expose where you're just basically ranting and contradicting yourself? Like, I mean, outside of whether you agree or disagree, that none of what he said really made sense, because it was just kind of vacant thought, like kind of random thought attached to random thought. And it was just like, okay, I'm going to throw out a lot of key buzzwords and make it sound important. And guess what? People latch it. That's what people do. They latch on to that.
All they do, yeah.
So
he sounded like Kyrie Irving. I mean, seriously, they should have a conversation and maybe throw Curt Schilling into it as well and see how that goes. Yeah, I mean, if you're asked that question by Kevin Van Valkenburgh, just say, geez, Kevin, you know, I've got a big game coming up. I've made my statements on that. Maybe after the season we can revisit that. That's it. You know, beat quarterback in that situation. Now you make it about you. You bring all this stuff up. And look, you make a great point. You could arguably say that this guy's the greatest regular season quarterback ever, right? I mean, he's won 70% of his starts. Mm-hmm. He's won his fourth MVP. The numbers are ridiculous. I mean, he has the highest of everything. Then he gets to the postseason, and he's like a completely different guy. It's like the bizarro Eli Manning, who during the regular season, you know, leading the league in interceptions and whatever, and then has two Super Bowl runs. Like, you know, what would you rather have? That's always a, you know, an existential question, speaking of Ayn Rand, you know.
And yeah, I know, right? And to your, and to your point, you know, you're bringing up, like, you know, the three and outs, you know, in key situations. Oh. Well, I mean, that's, you know, these are all things that this isn't new. And that's what the alarming thing is. And that's what, to me, is the most impactful thing when you look at him. This is not new. Because go back to, again, last year. Like you said, those last two interceptions, three and out both times following those interceptions. And I've done, you know, because I've had this conversation many times, on both of those interception drives, not only did the Bucs gain more yardage and take off more times with a lead, which is obviously very important, but they had better field position off of the punts than the Packers did off those interceptions. So, yeah, if you want to harp on interceptions, yeah, go for it, but you're missing the entire point in the context of what happened. And, you know, go back to Seattle, NFC Championship game. Five turnovers, 16 points. Well, special teams, guess what? Special teams made a bad play. There's no doubt about it. But you shouldn't have even been in that position.
In both situations, Ian, last Saturday night should have been a blowout.
Oh, game should have been over in the second quarter.
Should have been over. It should have been at halftime. It should be 17 or 21-0. And how San Francisco's not coming back from that. Look, Green Bay's defense constantly gets maligned. They were sensational. They really were. I mean, they couldn't come up with a big stop at the end, but you know what? You know, the other guys get paid as well. And Deebo Samuel's a dude. And,
oh, he was incredible.
Man, he's just incredible. And I'm just going to bring up a quick story, which kind of alarmed me too going into this week. First of all, when we saw Alex Rodriguez in the stands with Green Bay Packers.
That was never a good thing.
Because actually, A-Rod and A-Rod are pretty similar, right? I mean, Alex Rodriguez is one of the greatest players we've ever seen, but never really considered a winner. He did win one World Series. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks, did win a championship, but overall kind of underperformed in big moments. Same thing with A-Rod. So the two A-Rods are a lot alike. But during the week,
and they're kind of both
Oh, yeah.
So man, it kind of works out pretty well.
Different taste in women, though. I'll say that. I mean, I think, you know, one A-Rod is all about, you know, I mean, he's got to be dating, whatever. And my A-Rod is more for the earthy, crunchy types. So, but Davante Adams was asked a question, and I love Davante Adams. He's a free agent, and like any team would be, you know, smart to sign him. He's right there with Cooper Kupp as the two best receivers in football. But he was asked a question, you know, would you ever line up in the backfield and run like Deebo Samuel? He goes, no, I'm a wide receiver. They're not going to call that for me. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the difference maybe in San Francisco and Green Bay. That Deebo Samuel's blocking. He's thrown passes. He's, you know, and Devontae, as great as he is, and I love him, and he's not a Deebo wide receiver, but it's like, no, I'm not going to do that because that's, you know, that's not what I do. I'm like, maybe this kind of explains a little bit why the San Francisco team does remind me a little bit of the 07 and the 2011 Giants, doesn't it? You know, like the quarterback who's there is a little shaky, but will make some big throws and just a ferocious pass rush that, you know, is going to make the opposing quarterbacks uncomfortable. I mean, they had 5 sacks Saturday. They had 5 against Dallas. And I still think Rodgers, he got hit, I think, on his second sack, and he just started looking at the pass rush. That's why he wasn't looking downfield, and that's on him. That's, you know. You got to, Brady gets up. And look at Joe Burrow Saturday. I know I'm going in 17 directions here, but obviously I'm fired up. But Burrow got sacked 9 times Saturday, which is on him, and it's not good. That didn't stop him.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't, bail out. I mean, he made a great throw to Jamar Chase to set up the game-winning field goal. Like, he's able to compartmentalize and say, look, I the first 55 minutes I gave up 9 sacks, but you know what? Time to make the throw now.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that was my one knock on Burrow is that, you know, maybe you got to work on getting your, you know, part of it is the offensive line, but, you know, at a certain point you have to also fault the quarterback in that. And, like, to your point, I mean, Rodgers just didn't push the field at all. I pointed to the one, the play action pass to Davante Adams, I think it was in the third quarter, which was really nice, and I'm thinking, okay, now they're finally out of their funk. They're going to get something moving. That might have been the only good pass of his entire day, because even that huge play at the end of half, I mean, that was just a blown coverage, wide open.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, any quarterback, you know, outside of Jamarcus Russell is going to hit that, you know, relatively close.
Right. And wide open.
And look, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily fault him for this, because he did it while running. And if you look at the replay, his mechanics were all out of funk, but the pass wasn't even terribly accurate. If he hits that in stride, you know what I mean? That's a potential bigger play than what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, outside of that though, it was just little dump offs to Aaron Jones and not in a good way. Like, I mean, we sit here, people have such a misunderstanding of dump offs, screen passes, and check downs. Like, no one knows what the hell they're talking about with it. There's situations where clearly it is the best play, but I think in this situation it was just a sign of limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily efficient, maybe scared to turn the ball over. And then we get that from Aaron Rodgers, and it leads to honing in on two guys, because you look at the target distribution, and you talk about, you know, Dan Orlovsky, I haven't seen his breakdown, but I did see on the final play to Davante Adams, him completely disregard everyone else but Davante Adams, and pretty much every other receiver was open. Certainly Alan Lazard was in the middle of the field, which would have given them a first down and obviously extended the game. So, it's just...
To look at his psyche, because this is a guy who I think is pretty complicated. Like, and I think, again, that's why he's kind of fascinating. Is it to the point where he's like, you didn't get me Odell Beckham Jr. You didn't help me with receivers, so I'm just going to lock in on Davante Adams. I'm not going to trust anyone else. Is that in his mind? I mean, I don't know. I mean, anything's possible with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, is he petty? Of course he is. We know that. How petty is he? I mean, I don't know if there was a concerted effort. Maybe again, it's just lack of confidence, and sometimes, you know, people say that, and it's like kind of a knock on a receiver. But like at a certain point, you have to trust yourself. I mean, if you're this great of a player, you have to trust your own ability. Like, he just was not. I mean, Alan Lazard made a really nice catch on a third down play and just was never targeted again. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, why? I mean, where was Randall Cobb? You know, where was, you know, all these other guys? I mean, I understand that A.J. Dillon went down, and I think, you know, he suffered a pretty significant injury. But
yeah, that was key.
Which would certainly hurt them. But Aaron Jones, again, I mean, you're in a pretty good situation with a backup. So very puzzling, very, you know, again, if you're a Rodgers fan like you are, you're obviously very disappointed. And I think a lot of them, to my surprise, I did see a lot of Packers fans sit there and say, like, look, I love the guy, but at a certain point, you just can't absolve the shortcomings anymore. And this is the problem, John, with how these players are covered now. Like, this shouldn't be, at this point in his career, we shouldn't be looking at him as a potential, and I'm using this to kind of hammer home my point, but failure. Because of how his entire career, because he was the GOAT, you know, 2 years into his career. He was on pace to be the GOAT. He was the most incredible this, the most amazing that, the most fantastic this. Well, guess what? All that ridiculousness completely skewed how we look at him and how we look at his success and failures. Because, like, right now, again, Dan Marino's talked about as one of the greatest players ever and doesn't get a knock in the world despite not winning a championship. Aaron Rodgers is better. But yet he's looked at as someone who has massively failed. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that's true if you compare him to Tom Brady. And in which case, everyone's failed, you know, because no one matches up to it. So
Marino was playing essentially the same time as Joe Montana, who actually beat him in a Super Bowl and won 4. And then John Elway was and Jim Kelly were in his graduating class, I mean, his draft class. And, of course, Elway won the 2 Super Bowls at the end. Obviously there's way more coverage now, and no one was calling Marino the GOAT. No one even knew what the hell the GOAT was. Yeah. I mean, there was things as the GOAT. I mean, for the most part, it was Johnny Unitas is the greatest quarterback ever, and then Joe Montana's the greatest quarterback ever, and then Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. I mean, that title's been held by 3 guys, and that's it, and that's what it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't think this. I mean, I know Clark Judge and all the guys that we know and love, the Eye Test podcast, you know, have watched a lot more football than all of us. They probably would agree with that. There's like 3 guys that have held this title.
Not according to social media the last 10 years. It's apparently been handed back and forth between several people.
I think
actually Mahomes might have taken it back yesterday, according to some, again, is absurd.
He might be the best quarterback. I mean, now, you know, we see there's 4 teams left, whatever. But, I mean, come on. Like, when people even bring this stuff up, I'm like, just laugh at them. I mean, even yesterday, the guy had the Rams totally scared. I'm convinced the Rams started imploding because they knew who the hell was on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
think about Bruce Arians. What
was the reaction? And this is a great way to kind of segue into this game, because I do want to talk about this game a little bit therapeutic as well. Again, not as a Buccaneers fan, but as a Brady fan. What was the reaction as soon as they fell down 27-3? What was the reaction? It wasn't like this game is over. It's like, uh-oh. And I understand a lot of it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but
not really.
And then all of a sudden you start seeing this play out and you're like, this is incredible. So, like, obviously, unfortunately, the game did not end with a victory like Super Bowl 51 did. It unfortunately, you know, the game, you know, could have been won earlier. They had opportunities on both sides of the ball. There are a lot of questionable things, but no one, and this was something we kind of said, and I can't remember if we said it on this show or maybe on our NFL Sunday preview, but I asked the question, like, okay, who are you more comfortable with if you fall behind early? Are you comfortable with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Well, the question or the answer is quite obvious, and you saw that play out again yesterday when they fell behind, and despite all the issues that they were having. And look, I mean, people sat here and to this day are still trying to tell me that Patrick Mahomes had a great Super Bowl game, and they'll spout off about, oh, all the pressures and this, that, and the other, the drop balls, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know what the exact numbers in terms of pressures and hits and everything like that. But I'm gonna go out of on the limb and say that it wasn't that dissimilar than what Patrick Mahomes faced in the Super Bowl. And we saw what the difference was. And you're talking about a guy who, by all accounts, is immobile compared to Patrick Mahomes. And we saw that yesterday with how well he ran. So to me, it's disappointing that Brady lost. And I think going into yesterday was the first time in my entire life that I kind of felt there was a potential that he would not return next year if they won the Super Bowl. I mean, we're talking about going from 100% certainty he would return to 99% certainty. But with me, that's a significant decrease.
Right.
There's not a chance in the world I think he's done after this. I know there was some talk and chatter about all that. And it's like, okay, well, when is he going to hang it up? Well, he's not. And like I said, I mean, regardless of what happens here on out, like I'm still going to sit here and go into next season and say, well, guess what? He's still the best quarterback in the league. Because worst case scenario, say Patrick Mahomes goes out and they win another Super Bowl. He's essentially only matched what Tom Brady has done. So, you know, I know people are going to point to that and be like, see this, see that. Well, you know, at the end of the day, like, Tom Brady is still the best quarterback in the league at 44 years old. And unfortunately, it didn't work out yesterday. And look, I mean, he didn't have a perfect game. I'm not sitting here saying, like, he was 100% perfect, this, that, and the other. No, I don't think we've ever said that. That narrative is only brought up by fans that have a weak argument and try to, you know, put words in our mouth. No, I mean, obviously he could have played better early on, but to just set aside the idea that they came back from 24 points down in the second half is absurd. And kind of, if it was the last game, John, it's not a terrible way to go out. Although, again, I just don't believe it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's his last game. I think if they won the Super Bowl, he'd come back for another shot at it, because the last team to win three straight titles were the 60s Packers. So, I mean, so post-Super Bowl era, he would be the first team, player, whatever, to win three straight titles. So I think if they won yesterday and went on to win the Super Bowl, that he'd probably still come back. I still don't know what else he wants to do. I know he's building, you know, the TB12 brand, clothing line. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, and he's got the family and Giselle, and, you know, she's a financial empire unto herself, so he can do a lot of things, but I don't know what else drives him quite like this. So I would assume that he comes back. He's got 1 year left on his contract with Tampa, and I'm sure if it was his choice, and it may be, I mean, calling him the de facto general manager is a compliment, not an insult. Maybe they move on from Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich becomes the new head coach. I think that would please Brady, because I think back to the Antonio Brown situation, Ian. Mm-hmm. I think that really pissed him off. I think Brady felt that he had Antonio Brown taken care of. Like, he kind of had him under control, and Bruce Arians screwed it up. You know, when
it could be.
You know, Dan gave him the throat slash and said, you know, get out of here. And, like, I think Brady at that point was like, I can, you know, we all had this. Like, we've been in the bar with our friends, and one guy's acting up, and one of us kind of takes control and says, okay, don't worry about it. I got it under control, and then the bouncer comes over and makes it even worse. Well, that was kind of Bruce Arians in that situation.
Well, look, I mean, and we saw, you know, undisciplined play. I mean, I will never blame officiating. I will sit there and point out when it's been poor, but it's poor on both sides. So, like, you know, to sit there and blame officiating for wins or losses is pointless, because, again, we could sit there and do this all day on both sides. Tom Brady getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty was certainly news to me. What a terrible break that was on the helmet hit. I mean, the fact that the ball hit the ground seconds before Mike Evans took a clear headshot. I mean, anyone sitting there pretending like that wasn't a deliberate headshot is kidding themselves. And it's just unfortunate that it resulted in, you know, the ball still going to the Rams. But, John, I'll tell you this. The defensive play call after they tied that game up was worse than Seattle's decision to throw on the goal line. And I was beside myself wondering what in God's green earth would give you the idea that blitzing against a team that had no timeouts and there was 20 some odd seconds left. What made you think that blitzing and leaving a backpedaling safety one-on-one with the Triple Crown winner was a good idea. Like, I mean, that is, like, look, if the game goes to overtime and the Rams win the coin toss, go down and win, so be it. That's what it is. And we'll get to that in a minute because I love being consistent, steadily, very consistent on opinions that I have, and I'm going to continue to be so today because of what happened in last night's game. But going back to this Bucks game, I mean, what are you thinking? Why are you calling that defense? Why? I mean, it's mind-boggling, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, between that and, like I said, there were a lot of things that went wrong for the Bucks. A lot of self-inflicted on every levels of the field. I mean, twice kicking the ball out of bounds, poor special teams. I mean, how much of Jalen Darden running the ball back do we have to see before we're like, okay, let's try something else, anything? Like, please, for the love of God, try something else. And they just weren't doing it. I understand that they had a couple really nice runs to start the game on the first couple of drives, but, you know, this is something we've talked about over and over again. The Bucks team is a lot better throwing on first down than they are running. And for whatever reason, they decided to come out and start this game by slowing it down and not speeding it up. And I was just like, what are you thinking? But at the end of the day, that defensive play calling, the strategy there at the end was just, it was horrendous. It was terrible. It was it cost them there at the end because all that momentum was in the hands of the Buccaneers. And, like, think about it. Matt Stafford fumbled that first snap and was lucky to get the ball back. It's like, that's how close you're talking to victory and defeat. You know, he fumbles the ball there, boom, chip shot field goal, you walk and you're hosting the NFC Championship game. So,
yeah, what was that call on the Rams? A quarterback sneak in that situation? Like a quarterback draw? I'm like, well,
oh,
really?
I don't.
It's a broken play. But the blitz, the zero blitz by Todd Bowles, who apparently half the team didn't know was.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's the other thing, too.
No, it's one, like, really blitzed. And yet they just left the coverage alone. It comes down to risk and reward. If you're Tampa Bay in that situation, you're like, just get this thing to overtime because the guy that we have, number 12, never loses it. So let's just get there because if we win the coin flip, we know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Like, that was a predictable thing other than me, you know, being effective at a buffet.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. So, like, and they go do that. You know, and then half the team doesn't know what's taking place, and Arians is throwing people under the bus. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Brady walks into Jason Light's office, or he can just go to the owners and say, you know, it's time to move on. And Arians is 69. You can kind of paint it as, you know, he's got the Achilles problem. I know he's a cancer survivor. He's, you know, almost as old as Belichick. So, you know, this would be nice to thing. And I think in some sense, Brady appreciates Belichick more now after 2 years in Tampa. You know, you always kind of push back against the disciplinarian after a while. But then when you're gone from him for 2 years, you say, I kind of miss that guy because he was buttoned up. I'm dealing with a guy who says, win or lose, we booze. You know, it's a little bit different mentality.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we heard Levante David make comments about, oh, there's turmoil. Not that there isn't with any team throughout the – I mean, that's what happens when you're in a room with 53-plus people with all different backgrounds. There's going to be regular turmoil. I mean, you have it in your family, let alone like a big – so that's not terribly – crazy to say, but I mean, it kind of, you know, when one of the leaders of your team seems to, you know, make a point of saying it, then yeah, then, you know, that falls on leadership. And I think it's safe to assume that leadership being the coaches and not the quarterback, because based on anything that people say about the quarterback, I don't think anyone had an issue with him being there.
No.
And I think at the end of the day, like I said, he is going to come back. This is not going to be the same Buccaneers team. They're going to have to make some decisions, whether or not they make a decision in the coaching, ranks or not. There will be decisions made on players and whether or not to bring certain players back or if they can afford to bring certain players back. But my gut tells me next year is it. You know, that's going to be it. He's going to finish it out one more season. And I look, he's playing with, like, the house money at this point. I mean, it's so – everything that he does just adds to his legacy, that which is already – I mean, like, think about this. Think about how close we came to having not only a 28-3 comeback under his resume, but also a 27-3 comeback both in the playoffs, and it's pretty incredible. And real quick,
when the Rams scored that touchdown, I go, they got to go for two here instead of 27-3, make it 28-3 for symmetry.
Yeah, well, that's what people are saying. It's like, go for two, you cowards. And that's
yeah, I know, exactly.
But that's kind of the running joke. It's like, oh, ha-ha, it's 28-3, and then you're like, oh, crap, it's 28-3, and you start realizing that the joke isn't really a joke, and the only reason right. people are joking is because there's truth to it, and you're like, oh, crap, and then it actually happens that they come back, and you're like sitting there like, oh, my God. Like, he did it again. And, like, look, this yep. isn't the first time. I mean, there was a game in the regular season against San Francisco years back where they were down 31-0 at halftime and nearly won the game. I mean, he brought them back there. There's that Denver game, 22-0. Same thing, mm-hmm. brought back. I mean, we go right down the list. This is what he does. So, disappointing way to end for the season. I will say this real quick because I do want to talk about what we saw last night before we have to end the show. Credit where credit's due. Matt Stafford did not throw an interception. I thought he would. He almost did. And this is how quickly things can change. That throw in the first half, back of the end zone, that was like 4 feet behind whoever he was targeting, went off Whitehead's hands, I believe it was. And mm-hmm. that's that. I mean, you make that interception in the end zone, all of a sudden there's a lot different momentum swing in that. So, all right. We had a lot to talk about, and I do want to squeeze in a little bit about this game before we go last night. What an incredible back and forth masterclass of an entertaining game that we saw last night between Buffalo and Kansas City. I will say this. The overtime rules are fine. They do not need to be changed. We do this all the time where people focus in on one game and say, this travesty had, well, it's not a travesty. And John, we just got to go back and pick pretty much every episode from this entire season. And at one point we mentioned, especially our Monday episodes, we mentioned, wow, guess what, John? Another overtime game was played, and the team who won the coin toss did not win on the first possession. That because mm-hmm. that rarely happens. And there's data to back that up. Very similar to Tampa Bay. You what are you doing with 13 seconds left? You allow Patrick Mahomes to complete two relatively wide open passes. And then, on top of that, you allow the massive chunk yardage. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, how do you do this? How do you decide? How do you make the decision not to, first of all, squib kick it, to at the very least, you know, take a couple seconds off? And as we can see, that meant all the world to the end of this game. And it was puzzling. So to me, when people say, oh, I wish Buffalo had a chance. No, they had a chance. They had a chance of regulation twice after Josh Allen did things that were just absolutely outstanding. I mean, the irony of all this is, and I get it, I understand, Patrick Mahomes is going to get all the praise in the world. And, you know, there's people out there right now that are calling him the baby goat again and completely, you know, knee-jerk reaction, prisoner of the moment, all that stuff. The reality of it is, I thought Josh Allen was better. And he did more with less. I mean, considering Stephon Diggs was relatively non-existent in that game. And I think we both thought he was going to be a big factor for this Buffalo team if they were going to have a chance to win. Well, they had a chance to win. They probably won the game twice, especially on offense. And yet Stephon Diggs was a non-factor. So it was incredible quarterback play on both sides. I'm not taking anything away from Mahomes. But I did say last night, and I really hope that eventually, and I thought honestly the coming together of everyone against Aaron Rodgers after they lost was going to, you know, create some sort of harmony amongst most of Twitter and all the fan bases, and we're all going to come together and sing Kumbaya and all that stuff. Actually, no, maybe not, because that's what Antonio Brown's doing right now, but maybe we all come together and say, you know what, let's appreciate how great of a game we just saw between two great quarterbacks. But let's not make these absurd statements, and let's try to prevent or resist bringing Tom Brady's name into it, because just like we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, it completely skews the conversation. Tom mm-hmm. Brady should not be mentioned among any quarterback when it comes to career greatness for a very long time, even Patrick Mahomes, because, again, consider this. They go out, they win a Super Bowl again this year, like I said earlier. They have only matched what Tom Brady has done. And then you consider the couple years prior to that, and you just sit there and laugh and like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let the kid's career play out. Let Josh Allen's sure. career play out. Because I was questionable coming into this season. I said it when the season began. I need to see more. I need to see another season of this. Well, I've seen enough. Mm-hmm. I've seen enough. the kid is incredible, and I want to see what happens moving forward, because like I can sit here and maybe make an argument that he is a better quarterback just based on the things that he does. And the most impressive thing to me, John, is his evolution when it comes to decision making and just instincts. And not necessarily, you don't necessarily learn those things, but you can refine them and improve on them. And I think Josh Allen, that is the biggest improvement that he's had, because I saw plays, I mean, his awareness on some of those scrambles, especially that what should have been the game-winning touchdown, which on fourth down, which was incredible, by the way. His just instinct to know when to stop, cut, and turn the other direction to avoid the sack was just on full display the entire game. And that is something that's a huge difference to me. When I sit there and I see that, I'm like, wow, that's impressive. That's the sign of a kid who's grown immensely over the last couple of years, and it looks like to be a mainstay in the elite quarterback rankings.
How do you feel if you're the Cleveland Browns? You had an opportunity to draft him, and the year before you had an opportunity to draft Patrick Mahomes. And
I feel like the Cleveland Browns, because that's who they've been for their entire existence.
Or the New York Jets, who took Sam Darnold, or of course Chicago took Mitch Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. And again, I think Mahomes and Allen went to good situations, right? You know, like Kansas City was already a winning franchise. And Buffalo made the playoffs, albeit 9-7, I get it. But they still made the playoffs the year before they drafted Josh Allen. But Brian Daboll has done just a phenomenal job with him. I mean, you know, if I'm Josh Allen, I'm like, give him 10% of my pay, because he's going to make a lot of endorsements now, because he's got a good personality and all of that. So, you know, keep Brian Daboll there at all costs to be his offensive coordinator, because he's only going to continue to grow. And look, you know, again, I watched him in college. I'm like, this guy's really raw. But you could see the size. You could see the arm talent. But you could also see the competitiveness and toughness. You know, those are things.
Composure.
And look, I was – oh, really? Absolutely. And you know the thing I really liked about both guys last night? And I don't get this from my quarterback because he's aloof, but those guys on the sideline were not giving up.
Yeah,
like the other team was coming down and scoring, and you know, no problem. I'm going to go out and match it or surpass it. There was no like, oh God, woe is me, my defense sucks, and this and this. No, go out and play. I mean, yeah, it's just I'm kind of upset about my guy. He doesn't have those things going for him. But that's kind of why I like him. He's kind of a
Well, like I said, I mean, Tom Brady's completely ruined the way modern day of evaluating quarterback success and career accomplishments and all that stuff. I mean, he's absolutely ruined it in positive and negative ways. So, I think, you know, when it's all said and done, you sit back and you watch it, you know, kind of just play out and unfold, and you're like, you know what? At the end of the day, it's disappointing, but you know there's a lot of quarterbacks that want a lot less, and certainly have far less. I mean, again, just look at Dan Marino. I mean, it's not easy to win Super Bowls, and I think that's the biggest problem that we've come to have to deal with, is that people just assume that it's easy to win Super Bowls, and just because Brady has done it at a remarkably high rate does not mean that's the norm. So to the Aaron Rodgers arguments, you know, that's something to keep in mind. And also to the folks that are again saying, oh, well, Patrick Mahomes is on goat pace. Well, no, he's not. I mean, cause even if they go out and win this season, he is still technically would be behind the pace that Tom Brady was at. And there's no guarantee that he ever goes back. Like, I know everyone sits there and says, like, oh, this team – I mean, how many times have we said, oh, this team is going to be here every single year?
Yeah, the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why
– I was ready for fun. I was like, okay, this guy's awesome. They're young. The next year they're 15-1. He's the MVP. I go, this is going to be normal. It's going to – at that point I go, it's going to be Brady Rodgers in the Super Bowl like 5 out of 8 years.
Yeah. and like, look, I mean, this is the thing. This isn't me saying that there was luck involved in winning, obviously. Like, I think people overstate. Like, obviously, there's luck involved in any championship run for everyone, because that's just how football is, and that's how close. It's a game of inches, so of course there's going to be some quote-unquote luck. But, like, think about the circumstance. Like, again, you are perhaps a very basic defensive decision away from losing this game. So, like, again, I you know, applaud what they're doing, and it's impressive, but to just assume that this success is going to just continue to the point of, or the level in which Tom Brady has. I mean, that's his biggest thing, is like how long he was great. So it was a great weekend of football. We're going to see how this plays out. Obviously, we'll dive more into the championship game previews as we get later into the week. We might use these first couple days for a little bit more therapy, a little bit more talking it out and kind of getting our emotions out. But needless to say, we have three games left, two conference championships, and, of course, the Super Bowl in 20 days. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We will be back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Have a good one.